You're listening to the Allele Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm your host for today, Mike Remus. I'm here live from the MTS press box with Richard Pollock. The Winnipeg Jets just defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-3, and while the score may seem like it was a close game, this game was really over in the second period.
Yeah, Michael, this was the D squad for Tampa Bay, basically icing out, 2-3 bona fide NHL forwards and a collection of youngsters / AHLers, and that was evident throughout the game. Tampa Bay had little to no opportunities to score aside from some power plays. We'll talk about the third period and when they pulled their goalie. Aside from that, even strength, they created absolutely nothing. It was probably the most boring game we've seen all year. The Jets were killing them, and it was so boring. The crowd was hardly into it unless they were prodded on by some kind of physical altercation or things like that. Overall, Tampa's Steve Eiserman's strategy here is, I think, a sound one, but there'll be some short-term pain for, in my opinion, some long-term gain.
The strategy being tank at the end of the season and hope for a top pick.
Sell your players at the end of the season when you might be as close to the eighth as you are to the bottom, but you know you're not a good team. Sell your team, get a bunch of picks, and get your pick to be really good this year. And it's a good strategy. And I think that you need to have confidence in yourself to do it. And I think Stevie Eiserman's continuing to prove that he's maybe already a top five general manager.
Well, they already sold, enough about Tampa, but they already sold Moore, Kabina. Who else am I missing here?
LeCavalier was shut down. They sold anybody else yet?
I don't know. Malone's rumored to go.
Yeah, Malone's rumored to go. So we'll see. I mean, Adam Paul actually looked all right tonight, so I think he might garner some interest in the market for some kind of fourth line right wing role. At the end of the day, you got Steven Stamkos, Marty St. Louis still working as hard as ever, and a defense that some pieces are okay, but they need some work. They need a number one. They need a number one and number two defenseman and a goalie. And that goalie you need has been evident all year and was evident tonight.
Well, it was pretty loud building in MTS Entertainment, as you can expect. Pretty much all these games in this home stretch are must-win for the Jets,
yep.
Trying to keep pace with Florida, who's got four games in hand.
Lost in a shootout tonight to Minnesota, so the Jets are now in third place by a point, but giving up four games in hand. I think more importantly, Toronto lost, and the Jets now hop into sole possession of eighth place.
So the scoring started off pretty quickly, 7-11 into the first period, and that's not a plug there, 7-11. Andrew Ladd scored his 20th of the year from a great pass from Little,
yep,
and Blake Wheeler. And Andrew Ladd's had a bit of a hot streak in the last three games. I think he's got about maybe 100 points he have tonight. He's probably
3 points tonight.
3 points tonight.
His first 3-point game of the season. This was a play Little, kind of curled off the corner there in the offensive zone, found Ladd on his off wing in the slot. Ladd put the puck into the back of the net. Garon didn't have much of a chance there. Get on board right away. Ladd going in the slot, and you go to the slot, good things happen. Ladd never really has an issue with putting the puck on net, and he certainly did the right thing there.
That was Wheeler's first point of the evening. He had two tonight, 37 and 38 assists in the year. That leads the team, and now Ladd's really been utilizing that quick release.
Yep.
And now the next goal, 14:59 into the first period as well. The crowd was chanting GST, GST, as they always do. And the GST line was doing their thing in the offensive zone, forechecking and working hard. Led to a battle in front of the net. Glass and Thorburn were whacking away after a great pass from Mark Flood. And they gave the goal to Glass, but we thought it was Thorburn. And it's debatable.
Yeah, it's debatable. And you know what, Michael, that you said, they went to the front of the net. They worked hard. That's what they always do. They got a chance there, and they put the puck in the back of the net. Nothing pretty about it, but hey, that's not what they're paid to do. They're paid to grind it out, play checking, check against the other team's top line, like Stamkos. And if any goals that they get are gravy, and that was a hard-working marker. At what, 14:59?
14:59.
So you go into the first intermission with a 2-goal lead against a team that has hardly any NHL talent, and you think to yourself, just play a sound defensive game, and we're probably going to win this one already.
Well, just the one thing about if the Jets, want to make a run here in the playoffs. Now that was Glass's only his fifth goal of the year. I think Thorburn's got about 4 goals. Slater maybe 5 as well.
I think Slater has like 8. Yeah.
8.
Yeah.
Well, these guys need to produce if they want to do anything in the playoffs. You need that support from your third and fourth lines.
That's right. I mean, Jets really don't have a fourth line. I mean, Atropov's doing nothing. They didn't even dress Mietinen tonight on the fourth line, so they played with 11 forwards, which you should point out. So you got Antropov on the fourth line there, Stapleton. I mean, they use those guys in certain roles, penalty-killing power play, but they're really rolling three lines now. And they're rolling some mixes out of the other guys. So you're right. I mean, if you're going to be, you know, you're not a fourth line on this team, you're a third line. If you're a third line, you have to put in some points to make the ice time warranted. Or you're putting a lot of pressure on the top two lines, which I don't think can night in, night out produce at, you know, the levels right now I think that they're producing, especially the top line, who's been really good. And that's a line that I don't love, but it's a line that's been producing. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say trashing, but we were saying that we should put Wheeler with Kane for a while. Yeah. But the last few games, the lad little Wheeler line has looked like they did at the end of last season.
It's looked really good, and you have to give them credit where credit is due. They've looked really good. They've been creating, and things are going in, and all due credit to them. I mean, I don't know long term if I still don't I stand by. I don't love the line, but you can't argue with what they've been doing lately.
I'll say Ladd has got a taking place maybe Kane's quick release. He's got Ladd's had a good shot and he's scored some nice shots from the side of the net.
He does have a good release. We should point out that I mean that second line was invisible tonight.
That's true.
Yeah, it was. And I think there's a lack of playmaking guys to go with Kane, which is one of the reasons why I like the top one and then I think it's really good teams. That's going to become evident against Tampa Bay tonight. It was a night off, basically. But they took advantage of what they had to. I just think that long-term, the mix that they have, or in addition through trade or free agency, whatever, being the off-season, I think right now, with the roster as they have it, I think you need to spread the wealth a little bit more. But just my opinion.
All right. And we said tonight they dressed, seven defensemen and didn't really have a fourth line. You think that's just because it was Tampa? They're a lower level team against St. Louis. Do you think we'll see 60 and the traditional 12 forwards?
That's a good point. I do. I don't think that they're going to go with this again. Now that didn't work, but and they were mixing it up a bit and not having to rely on just certain pairings. But you're right, Michael. I mean, you're really dealing with it. We said, I mean, you look through the roster. The second line, Nate Thompson, the second line center. I mean, come on.
He's got 11 points this season.
Nate Thompson.
Minus 15.
Tommy Pyatt's playing second line minutes here. How many minutes did Tom Pyatt play today? 16 minutes. Tom Pyatt. So, I mean, you're right. You can afford to do that and get Flood in the game and get his blood flowing and things like that. But I agree. Against St. Louis, I mean, a harder checking team, a team that you're really going to see what the Jets are made of. It will be more interesting. Nope. Tommy Pyatt, 16 minutes.
You're coming into the game.
Holy smokes.
The Jets' power play was rolling. They had scored on five straight power plays, which I tried to check if that was a record.
Seven.
Sorry, yes. But the sixth in a row was by Evander Kane. Really walked from behind the net into the slot, took a rip. Andrew Ladd, had a great screen on Grund, may or may not have bumped him.
Matthew Grund has to have that puck though, Michael, and it's a good screen, but it's a short side shot. Ladd didn't touch the puck. Grund's got to have that. Give Kane credit for shooting, which he always does, and give credit for Ladd who goes for going to the net, which he always does. Good, both strengths of both those players. But Matthew Grund, I mean, Ezra was talking to, or sorry, David was talking to Guy Boucher this morning, and he was saying, we need a goalie next year. And that couldn't have been more evident tonight. You have to save a shot from the high slot on the low short side.
It seems like the last few games the Jets have not played against good goaltending at all, and they've taken advantage.
Yeah, give them credit for taking advantage. Putting the puck on net, right? But 34 shots tonight.
Well, look, guys, we have like Evander Kane and Dustin Byfuglien. Those guys take a lot of shots.
They do.
And Dustin Byfuglien took a slapper, win the draw off a penalty in your own zone.
Byfuglien's been on fire with offense. And he's looked better defensively. He's poor play in the last the goal against Philly. But overall, I thought he's not jumping into the play. He's jumping into the play, but maybe not as much as he was early in the season. But he's been an offensive dynamo. And his skills offensively cannot be argued. That shot again, though. Garon's got to have that.
It's just a routine shot from the point. There wasn't really much of a screen there, and it just
The third or fourth goals, and that's why they pulled him.
That's why it's interesting.
They pulled him after that goal, just for the listeners who maybe didn't see the whole game.
In two games against the Lightning this year, the Jets have had last game was 5-2, and now they have four goals, so nine goals in two games, and both times the goalies were pulled.
Yeah.
And I actually believe Dustin Byfuglien is maybe top three or four in the league with the. Points per game average. He's been
on defense. Yes, absolutely. I mean, when he's been playing, I think he would be second only behind Erik Karlsson. I think he's even ahead of Brian Campbell. Erik Karlsson's at a point a game.
He's been unbelievable.
So I would agree with you, Michael. I think that, you know, Bufflin is up in the top three or four offensive defensemen in the league. I don't think that, again, can be argued. His offensive sense and offensive skills are tremendous.
Now, when you're going into, you know, going into the dressing room up 4-0 against a team that's clearly you're outworking, outplaying in the corners, and really is not, you know, at their 100% capabilities.
Oh, that's for sure, yeah.
It's definitely tough to come in to the third period with a mindset, you know, continue to work hard and drive him. But the Jets did not come in with that mindset. They
were lazy, and I thought the biggest thing that cost them, Michael, was penalties. And the Jets took a tripping, slashing, cross-checking, and roughing penalties in the two of those were 10 or glass at the end. They scored after that. But Stapleton can't take the tripping. Ladd took a stupid slashing on the offensive zone, slashing a guy's stick. You're up at that point of the game, Michael. You have to just be disciplined, especially in the offensive zone.
Now, if you're Coach Noel, are you giving it to the guys at the end?
You know, I think with the team playing in, you know, a day and a half, getting a win against a team you need to get a win again, he will probably, you know, talk about it tonight quickly, but probably reinforce it tomorrow at practice. I don't think he'll give him as hard of a time because, you know, they come out, they still get the W, and this league's all about W's. I think that it'll be a point of reference tomorrow, but I think it'll be a motivating factor for maybe him and maybe some film stuff, but I don't think it'll be anything crazy, really.
Well, Stamkos scored with 11 minutes into the third period from
Beautiful.
The spot where he usually scores at the right about the face-off dot. Or
it was a power play. Puck goes to the left side. If you're moving, looking left to right, top of the top of the middle of the circle there, it goes down to Malone, who's kind of on the goal line, makes a between-the-legs pass through the slot to Stamkos cutting down the right side. Stamkos gets the puck with that open in the net. He scores every single time. He's got the best shot in the National Hockey League, 4-1.
And Ted Purcell with under a minute left in the game. And one thing that's interesting to note, the Jets led up two goals in the last minute of the game today, combined with one goal in the last minute of the game. So that's three goals in the last minute of the last two games, which is not what you want to see.
Good point. And that again, at practice, I think that'll be referred to as a good point, Michael. You know, there, you're playing at even strength. They pulled the netminder, and you know, the last one's a little bit more defensible because you're playing against 6-on-4. But that 6-on-5 goal, you just can't let happen. You can't let it get to the point.
Well, say that last goal from St. Louis, that was some shot from right on top of the goal line.
Scored with 9 seconds left. Great shot from St. Louis. But the craziest part is, I mean, they did come apart to extreme levels at the end because the face-off at the end, the puck somehow gets forward. And St. Louis gets the puck and just kind of bobbles it and then steps over and causes an offside. But they could have entered the zone down 4-3. With Stamkos streaking, I mean, it's just there's things that they have to clamp down on, and that's the thing. I mean, this team misses Zach Bogosian big time here because they don't have a lockdown defenseman. And if you watch the game against Philly, you could see they didn't have one lockdown defenseman. But when they have to lock it down at the end of the game, they don't have the defensive defenseman. It's hard to rely on, right? Who do you rely on? Who do you rely on? And look at the guys who they're playing at the end there.
Well, we saw it last game.
You have Hainsey and Jones. And Oduya and Enstrom were the guys on before. I mean, you don't have any defensemen, and it costs you.
Well, looking at you know the ice time here, Flood was the last defenseman. He played about 10 minutes. Jones, 12:46. Hainsey and Stewart, about 19 minutes each.
Yeah, faceoffs were about even tonight, too. 52 to 48 for the Lightning. So, you know, overall, the Jets carried the play. I mean, it was a Jets win. They had to clamp down at the end of the game, but the Jets are the better team tonight, I thought, by a mile. And they played hard when they were kind of, you know, they need to clamp down at the end, but they played quite hard when they needed to throughout the game. First two periods were dominated by them. Even, you know, Michael, the Lightning scored three goals, two power plays, one power play with an empty net, and the other goal with an empty net. So 5-on-5, the Lightning created absolutely nothing tonight. So the Jets certainly have that to bank on. And I think that's an important sign moving forward.
One thing that we all know is the Jets are a completely different team at home. They can pretty much beat anyone, and they're going to be tested Saturday against St. Louis, who has looked pretty awesome this year, especially since Ken Hitchcock took over.
I'm very interested to see how they play against the St. Louis team that, as Drew mentioned, this Saturday isn't as good on the road as some people think, but a team that doesn't give up many chances, and the Jets creating chances, they've been all right. They haven't been bad at all, but I mean, creating chances against a team like that is going to be very interesting to see. Saturday's game is, every game is important, we can say that cliche now, but Saturday's game is really a tough game considering you look at the Jets' next 8 games, aside from Vancouver, or 9 games aside from Vancouver and St. Louis, there really aren't any great teams in there. So let's see how they match up against the great teams.
Yeah, we're in that territory at the end of the season where every game is must win.
This is what Gary Bettman wanted.
Where everyone's got a shot at the end. Well, that's it for us tonight. Tune in on Saturday for the Legal Curve Hockey Show. We'll be on 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. leading up to the 1 p.m. start, Winnipeg Jets against the St. Louis Blues. I'm Michael Remus for the Legal Curve Hockey Show and for Richard Pollock. Dave and Ezzy are doing the audio, so visit illegalcurve.com for post-game reaction from both dressing rooms. Good night and good luck.